flick off your jandals, crack a cold one from the chilli bin, chuck on some cans, and enjoy a Kiwi take on all things Arsenal.
Hey guys. We're live.
I really dig that intro.
Yeah, that's the that's your first look at our professional setup here, Zahn. We go all out here. Welcome, everyone. We're going live out to the world here. Haven't done this for a while.
No, it's been a little while, hasn't it?
We've chosen a good time. Got lots to talk about. Look, we've got Mike here, as always. Zahn, who's joined us from Australia. Second time on the show. First time showing his face.
Yeah,
I apologize for. I didn't tell him either. I just told him like 2 minutes ago. Oh, by the way, we're going live on Facebook.
Oh yeah, I've been at work all day. Come home, I got drenched from the rain that we had for like 5 minutes, which was when I was just outside. Like, yeah, I'm totally prepped for this.
But yeah, let's see how it goes. I think key to remember though is just take a breather. It isn't the end of the world. It was a pretty shitty window from one point of view for the Arsenal. And, you expect, Mike, that you're sitting here on what is it, the 1st of February with nothing to talk about?
Mate, you're going – sounds like you're in a swimming pool with your microphone. But I think I got the gist of what you're talking about. So, yes, you could call it kind of disappointing from a certain point of view, but also you've got to remember we managed to clear out a lot of dead wood from our squad. We are running very lean as a squad at the moment, but there's a lot of money being saved or not being spent on wages, I suppose, if you look at it that perspective. And if that means towards the... I'm starting to sound like Corey here, being positive. But for the next season, if we can bank some of that cash, there could be a decent kitty to be able to purchase some players and look forward. And yes, the players we've got now are performing or semi-performing. We're a little bit light up front, but maybe they can get through. Maybe they can't. Time will tell. I just hope that maybe the savings means we can buy some players and get you a haircut.
Yeah, it's definitely a risk, isn't it?
It's a haircut. It's definitely a risk.
Turn around. Show them what you've done.
All our viewers, can you show us what you have done, Lord Bentner?
There it is.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Oh, God. He kind of does look like him a bit. Oh, ew. No, like overall, I think that's a pretty good point about like trying to save the money and stuff. Although at the same time, like we are definitely going to have to save some because at this point, we're going to have to at least buy a new striker like in the summer transfer window. Because what have we got going into next season currently?
Yes, I mean, we all know
Nkedia.
Well, yeah, but he's leaving.
Yeah, he's going to be given another contract, isn't he?
I hope not.
He's been given multiple contracts. It's whether he signs it.
Yeah, true.
But
we got Bellingham to come back.
Yeah, I kind of feel like we need more than just that. We'll see how he goes at Middlesbrough, but like that was kind of a weird one. Like when he went there, like. Because I also pay close attention to Brighton in the Premier League as well. And like the day before Balogun signed, Brighton also loaned out a striker to them as well. So it's like, oh, great. There's already competition for places there. So it'll be interesting to see like how much he actually plays.
Yeah. Maybe though this means that Martinelli's going to get more of a shot up front rather than out in the wing.
True.
And we've always got Pepe.
Could be a positive. Pepe coming back is not a positive. But it might mean that we get to see Martinelli a bit more at the pointy end of the field rather than out at the wing, which I think can only be a positive.
I mean, obviously it's going to be down to a little bit of luck. If we stay injury free, if we stay Xhaka free, for the rest of the season.
Xhaka free. Hang on.
We're Arsenal. We cannot stay Xhaka free.
No, no.
He's always going to find his way back in.
It's going to be
and then Xhaka find his way back out again. Yeah.
He's good at that.
Look, it's going to be a little bit down to that because we only have, 17 games left in the season. We're playing once a week. None of the teams around us strengthened. So I don't see it as the end of the world. I see a lot today where everyone's saying top four's over. But we've still got a decent starting 11. And we can get through it, I think.
I mean, I hate to say it because it feels dirty, but like, I would argue Tottenham strengthened.
Did they, though? I know they got in two from Juventus, but I mean, I wouldn't say it was...
Well, one of them looks quite good, actually.
From which one? Bentica or Kulusevski?
I think it was the B one. I can't say his name.
Bentica? Yeah, because I also quite highly rate Kulusevski as well, so I think that's actually a pretty damn good pickup for them. And I'm just like, oh, damn it. Why Tottenham? Why do they always sign players I like?
I think they'll struggle, though, because it's... It's quite a different league coming over and fitting into a team that's already in a bit of catastrophe type scenario. It's going to be hard. Ants is just messaging on, well, what's that Facebook pop-up thing? Three recognized centre backs. We're very short in defence. Badly need another striker. Yeah, we all know that. Obviously, Arteta doesn't know that, but we all know that we need another striker. But the,
I think
the
is it Arteta doesn't know, or is it whoever like organizes the transfers? Like, I actually don't know who really has the final say in that in our current setup.
It's probably got to be Edu, then, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, who do we have as centre back? Well, we have Ben White, we have Gabriel, and Holding.
There's three recognized centre backs, and I guess you can say if we desperately needed. We could put Tierney in there and play Tavares on the left.
Tavares.
So that's what the way I've sort of looked at it is the left back can be changed.
Yeah, but we tried that, didn't we, with putting Xhaka there last year?
Well, I mean, we could always do that as well.
Well, we tried that last year and we saw it didn't work, so hopefully we don't have to try that again.
So my understanding of these players that have gone out on loan, if we need, we can call them back, right?
Yeah, unless there's been, like, something, you know, said in the contract that we can't. But generally there's a fee involved as well. We can't just call them back without any penalty. But the ones going out on loan, though, so let's bring it up here.
Yeah, I definitely need a guide.
And I kind of agree with Martin there as well. Like, if we look at it, any of the players that have left here, none of them are starting.
What's going on the audio there, guys?
Yeah, no, it's a bit funny, isn't it?
Sounds like someone's got fireworks going on in the background.
Oh, I've got an ice pack on my ankle. That was probably it, sorry.
All right.
None of the players in this list of outgoing players really is a starting 11 player. Maitland Niles, we haven't seen since, I can't even remember. Pablo Mari hasn't played this season. Chambers filled in once or twice. Kolasinac, I think, got a game or two. So it's not like we're losing players that are key to this squad. It was worst case scenario, we have to put these players in to cover injuries.
Yeah, and we did have a problem with a bloated squad, so.
Just Aubameyang, I think they've said we'll save $25 million over his, 2 years from his contract?
I think 18 months. So 1.5 years.
Yeah, we've got players that aren't really key to us, off the books, saving money. You know, Kolasinac was on good money as well. There's been players that we've been trying to get rid of that we've finally got rid of. Obviously, we would have liked to have got players in, but from the outgoing point of view, I don't think anyone can be too upset. Mike?
I suppose if I look through that list and I had to pick out a name that I'm a little bit annoyed about is probably Maitland Niles. He has had a few opportunities in the last two seasons under Arteta, and he's actually performed, but he seems to be shunted around different positions as kind of like that Swiss Army knife, if you know what I mean. And he's done all right wherever he's kind of played, but he doesn't seem to get a consistent run. So I'm a bit annoyed that he's gone out. I understand why he personally wants to go out, because he wants to get game time. Every player wants to play. But from an Arsenal point of view, I don't think that's the right move. I think we needed to integrate him more into the squad and get him playing. The rest of them, Kolasinac, we'd ridden off last year. Aubameyang rid himself off. Chambers, I mean, he played a couple games this season and he wasn't too bad. He came in, was it against Man City, and played pretty well, after barring the first 10 minutes when he kind of was finding his feet. And then after that, like, I mean, yeah, it's probably good for some of these young kids to get out and get on loan, so they actually have some game time. And that's the point of the loan system, I suppose, is we see you as a player for the future, but you need to get out there and get some experience. So good to see that the likes of Balogun and Tyrese, John Jules, etc., are out there getting their experience.
Yeah, that's yes, George. Half.
I know Maitland-Niles isn't a world beater, but he was effective when we needed him, which I think is a quality that we're going to need as we go towards this last 17 games, because we're not going to go injury free in 17 games. We're not going to go COVID free in 17 games, and we're definitely not going to go red card free in 17 games with the likes of Xhaka, etc. So
I think Maitland-Niles, I mean, we're okay in midfield, I think. So that's okay. I'm not too worried about that. Obviously, he's coming back next season, hopefully. I don't know. But for this season, I think we've got enough cover with Onyeka coming back. It's more of the right back he can cover, I guess. I forgot Tomiyasu, Tim said, can play right back, can play centre back.
Yeah, he can.
But then if we put Tomiyasu centre back, who plays right back?
Yeah.
Do you want to play Cedric?
No.
Yeah.
He's probably the one player that I would have wanted out and gone with Kolasinac. Like, those two can just pass on. Yeah.
I said in the chat today, let's give Cedric captain. Because
yeah,
the curse is continued. Whoever gets captain.
That would be a very Arsenal thing to do.
So let's give Cedric the captaincy, and then in 6 months' time, we should be free of him.
I'm sure if we trawled back through footage, like, at some point, he's probably worn the armband. Like, someone just been subbed and just given off to, like, the closest guy, and it's just been him. So, surely it's had to have happened.
Possibly. I don't think so, but you just never know with our leadership group. It's quite a large one. So, he could have popped in there once or twice, but... anyone else? So Balogun, obviously, we hoped would get a loan out. Do you think with Aubameyang leaving and the options we've got, he could have got some more game time with us, or it's the best move?
Who are you asking, mate?
It doesn't matter. San, what do you reckon?
Well, it did seem like Nketiah was the one that was being favoured in front of him, like coming off that sub role for like the last 10 minutes or so. So, I mean, we're probably losing Nketiah at the end of the season anyway, but he is sticking around and we seem to be using him at that point. So it wouldn't be necessarily a given, like, unless someone got injured. And in that case, I think there probably would be some sort of recall thing we could do to bring it back. So it doesn't really, it wouldn't have really had much impact on that situation, I think.
No, I mean, again, you've got to sort of, I guess, look at what we've got left for the season. And, you know, again, it comes back to, barring worst case scenario where we get injuries through the squad or COVID, there just isn't space for more than three strikers when we've only got one game a week, right?
And we only play one up front.
And we only play one up front.
Yeah.
The only concern is the ones up front, can they get it through 17 games and actually contribute?
Well, based on the past, let's say... 20-something games, there hasn't been too many, let's say, games where our strikers have kind of bulged that old onion net very heavily. Yeah, so I am a little concerned about the pointy end of the field, but I do know the three young guns that are kind of playing in behind that central striker have been really good this season. Just the last couple of games, they've been a little bit off, which is bound to happen, being young kids, etc. So, and such a young squad as well overall. So I don't write too much into the last three games. It's more, I think it's positive overall, the change that we've had. And Tim's saying about Bellingham, it's right. He had outgrown the U23s. When he's scoring 3-4 goals a game and whatever, it seems ridiculous. But he wasn't physically up to the Premier League standard. When he did get his chance, you could see he was kind of a little bit behind the pace sort of thing. So getting out there and getting some real match time at a decent level is going to do wonders for his confidence and his ability, I think.
Yeah, Middlesbrough are chasing promotion. They're right in the mix. They've got like a pretty interesting group of attackers. Like, it'll be interesting to see how much time he gets, and hopefully he can kind of like show himself off in training and really get picked and like kind of show what he's got. But I think he's at a good place.
Yeah.
In theory.
100%.
Yeah, and he's already started contributing. I saw he got an assist, was it? The other day. So
yeah.
I mean, are we overreacting a bit after January?
Everyone does. Every January.
Not just the signings, but if we go back to the game. So December was a really good month for goals and for results. And then we got hit with COVID and some really tough fixtures with Liverpool twice and whatnot. So the players that we have got, because everyone's saying, yeah, freaking out, we didn't add anyone in. But the players that we have got us to where we are now.
We did add some people to our club. What are you on about? We haven't talked about
it. I haven't got there yet, but I don't think they're going to contribute for the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Okay, I'll give you that one.
Well, any of them actually there? Or did we send them all back out immediately?
Well, I think there's one that may have come, but I think he's going to be in the under-23s or the academy, so that doesn't count. Well, let's move on to that then, because like I said, the bottom of the list, all pretty much youth players being sent out. Nothing really too surprising with Murray. The only one I guess was surprising was Chambers. Did anyone see that coming? Taxi go to Villa.
No, I mean, it's not surprising. I kind of also left, but he was around, so I was more surprised. Like, oh, Chambers is gone. Oh, he is still. Like, yeah.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have picked Villa. Like, I feel like Villa was slightly higher than I kind of expected, like, a club he'd land at. But, I mean, hopefully he can do a kind of trick there. They did need, like, some sort of centre-back reinforcement. So I think he would just be there, like, kind of a last resort sort of option. But they might need that.
Yeah, it's a strange. I mean, from my point of view, it doesn't really strengthen them. So
I think it's just literal depth. Like, they need just one more centre-back. So
like us.
Yeah, we like to give. We don't like to enhance ourselves.
All right, so let's go on to incomings because it's slim pickings.
What are you talking about? We've got Trusty.
Trusty in the process, as everyone is saying.
Oh, good Lord.
yeah, we were talking just before we started. It's quite interesting that we've purchased a player from a Kroenke club has purchased a player from a Kroenke club and then loaned him back to that Kroenke club. Quite an interesting conundrum to kind of get your head around, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for him. Matt Turner, never heard of him. Cool that he's staying in New England. Awesome.
I almost write, when I was writing up, Revolution, I almost wrote Patriots.
Kroenke would not be happy with that one. Leno Silva is probably going to be one to join the academy, right? He's probably a young prospect that they've scouted and thought, Trusty the clown. Thanks, man.
For some reason, I thought Matt Turner was like a young kid or something. He's like 27.
Is he?
Yeah, so he's... from memory, he's you might know more than me, Zan. He's first choice for America national team.
Or he's definitely he's in the squad. He's played 15 times for them that I'm seeing. He played just in the last couple of games recently. So, yeah, like he must have just kind of eked himself up into there.
But I mean, it's kind of what we need is someone that can do a job but not really wanting to see him too much.
Yeah, you know,
it's not sustainable.
I just wish I actually had like something useful to add. It's just like they're just complete unknown.
Well, that's why I brought you in, man. You're supposed to be the knowledgeable one.
Yeah, I'm good at like European football stuff. I got no idea about the MLS.
So, here we go. Matt Turner made his international debut on the 31st of January 2021 for the United States team. He recorded a clean sheet, saved a penalty. He started in all six games for the US in the 2021 CONCACAF Gold Cup. 5 clean sheets, a 1-0 win against Mexico in the final. For his performance, he was awarded best goalkeeper of the tournament. Okay.
So, I mean,
that's all Wiki has.
I think he was named the player of the season last year in the MLS as well.
Look, I mean, he just lost to Canada, so I don't know. It's hard to have too much hope. Then again, Canada's actually on the up. Like, I'm pretty keen on them at the moment.
Yeah,
it's always hard to support Americans in football as well, for me anyway.
John Herdman's the coach of the Canadian team. Yeah, he used to be involved in the All Whites setup here in New Zealand. So
really cool.
He's had a good career here in New Zealand. So it's good to see him.
From what I'm gathering, he is very well liked over there, and like he's obviously doing like quite successful. Like Canadian football's on the up.
Funny that.
That's a good point there, Tim. Yeah. Because everyone is hyping Stefan up quite a bit, so to have kept him out, he must have something about him.
Yeah, that's good. But obviously he's not coming for the season, right?
Not coming for the season. So two Americans, both staying in America.
I think he's being bought in to be Ramsdale's understudy going forward because Leno's probably going to be off at the end of the season. So
that's what I was just saying. Yeah,
I was quite surprised he didn't go.
Leno's obviously leaving at the end of the season, so it's not really sustainable. We've tried it many times to have two. What you maybe consider first choice keepers.
Or is Ramsdale go? Dun, dun, dun.
I think we're just going to play striker. I think we're just going to chuck him up top, play striker.
Did you see that goal he scored?
Yeah.
I could definitely see him being someone that gets like a 96-minute winner on a corner or something. Yeah, he's got that personality.
Rush goalie. And he's going to do the big power slide, isn't he? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So... Anand is asking, how will we get a top striker if we don't offer Champions League?
That's a very good question. You're going to have to scout really, really well.
What do you classify as a top striker? Like, are we even a realistic chance to get anyone that is classed as a top striker at this point? Like, yeah, we've kind of got to still get back to that level, and it's going to take a few years for that point. Like, I was hoping for the Vlahovic thing, even though I knew that would never come off. And I feel like that was probably the closest we've got to really getting a chance of a next like top striker level. So I am interested to see who we go after next, but I honestly can't pick it at this point.
Mike?
Maybe someone who is not as similar like club level of ours, but like their club goes for a similar thing. Like if Lille don't make the Champions League, for instance, maybe it might be more appealing to Jonathan David, saying with like Real Sociedad and Isak, or just options like that. Like, but good strikers, but already like sort of lower tier clubs at this point, or similar tier to us, but we have the English Premier League money, so that's always a plus.
I haven't seen him play, but yeah, we're talking about Jonathan David, but their other striker for Canada's going pretty well as well in the qualifying. I think he scored 12.
Darren. I think just with the goal against USA the other day, he's like now Canada's all-time top scorer.
Because he's at Besiktas, and he's got a pretty decent record, and he's only 26. But again, I haven't seen him play.
I thought he was qualified for some reason.
I haven't seen him play, but I mean, could he be an option? San, have you seen him play?
Yeah, I don't pay enough attention to the Turkish Super League, and even this season.
When you're
like,
as desperate as us, everyone's an option.
Just do what you do in the A-League. Just YouTube clips. That's all our scouting needs to do. Just chuck up YouTube clips on the big screen.
Look, the ideal one would be Jonathan David for he's probably got the more potential and he's younger. He's going to cost more as well. But, like, yeah, no, I wouldn't mind Sal Larin. I don't see it being counter success if that's who Arsenal get, like, at the end.
Yeah.
I can see, like, we have a kind of a voracious fan support. I don't imagine that going down well.
No, I think it's going to be real hard to get a striker in, considering the position we're in now, because every club in the world knows that Arsenal are desperate for a striker. So the cost is going to go up, which is going to be a tricky one. Plus, everyone's going to be fighting for the same players, right? Everyone wants the next big thing. So, and if you don't have a carrot of European competition, Champions League, Europa League, Conference League, whatever it is, it's going to be even harder to bring them in, unless somehow they've managed to buy into the Arteta project wholeheartedly. Maybe Arteta's made him some pasta or something. I don't know. I'm not sure about Timo Werner. He doesn't seem to score many goals. The ones that I actually really
if you're going to put him up there, at least spell his name right.
Well, it sounds like Werner.
Yeah, we know what he means.
We missed out on him in the last window, though. It was what's his name? Tammy Abraham. He was the one that we should have gone for. He had English experience. He was young. He had heaps of potential. And look what he's doing now. He's banging the goals in left, right, and centre. Yes, he's under Mourinho, etc. But he's doing awesome. The other potential that Corey and I have talked a lot about on the review podcast is Dominic Calvert-Lewin. He's been an interesting player. I'm not sure who Ennis, right?
Enesiri is the striker at Sevilla.
Okay. Not sure, Tim. Yes, I'll take anything at this moment. Like,
yeah, anything. I've always just thought Ennis, he's almost too raw still, but like he's quite effective. I don't know. Like, I never really thought Enesiri is like a serious sort of like potential for Arsenal. But I mean, hey, I'd love to be proven wrong.
Better than Nketiah?
Oh well, that's not hard. Yeah,
and considering. After the season, we will have one striker on the books. Right?
Look, you know what? I mean, I don't see us going for him, but he might actually potentially be available as well because Sevilla already kind of got their next ideal striker set up.
Yeah.
And, like, there's been teams after Nketiah before and, like, Sevilla are a selling club. Like, I mean, he might be available, like, for actually relatively decent price. See the Aussieman links and it's just, like, I wish, but I don't see us landing
Aussieman. I'm loving George's attempts at spelling here. It's quite
it's good. Close.
Yeah.
It's got a few of the letters mixed around.
He's doing well. It's strikers are going to be a tricky position. No matter who we go for, and like we can speculate all we want and we can throw names out there, but it's going to be expensive if we want someone. And they're going to have to buy into the project because I don't see us finishing Champions League. Champions League is going to be a real hard task for the squad, the lean squad that we've got now. So.
And that's just it. Without the Champions League, to get someone, we are going to have to pay over the odds, not just in transfer fee, but their wage as well. Like, we're going to have to really, like, just basically grease the wheels just to get him in as much as possible. Because, like, that's just it. It's basically Champions League or bust in terms of, like, those really high-tier caliber strikers.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we kind of have to go a bit of, like, a slightly more risky one that might have, like, the potential payoff. But, yeah, it's...
Well, I hear Dylan's laced up his boots and he's got hair like Nick Bentner now, so he must be banging those goals in, right?
No, my chance probably never was even a chance. It's long gone, but I'm getting my son up and ready. So, you know, give him 16, 17 years, he'll be there.
How long do we have to wait? Oh, God.
not that long, only 11 years till he's going to sign his first senior contract. So, yeah, be patient. It's coming. I'm trying as fast as I can. Yours is closer, Mike.
Yeah, he's turning 16 tomorrow. That'll be, but no.
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 Oh.
You're supposed to be positive about yourself.
Let's say have faith. We don't have to notice. Just like hype him up.
Yeah.
Come on, Manchester United once bought Bebe. Anyone can buy anyone.
Yeah. Do we reckon maybe no. No.
I have such a soft spot for those two. Like, oh.
Bentner as well. Speaking of Bentner, what's he up to? I know he's retired, but surely he can stand up on the top. And
Šemek and Jovinio must have the. They must have the.
Here we go. No, this one. This one's.
Nah, we'll need, yeah. Sort of.
I actually heard today that Sanogo is available on a free transfer.
We like free transfers.
Yeah, we do.
He's probably not worth the $150,000 we'd pay him for it, but.
Oh, you imagine if he came in though and like just banged 30 goals in the rest of the season.
Surely he's figured out how to use his body by now. So, you know, he might be decent.
He was like a giraffe when he played, wasn't he?
Yeah, I'm sure he's grown into it and learned how it all works.
He hasn't played for a club for 6 months. He was at Huddersfield Town last.
Yeah.
Has he left Huddersfield, has he? Yeah.
Yeah.
29 years old. Geez, it seems like an age since
he scored like four or something in the preseason game against like Benfica, I want to say. And that was literally all the goals he ever scored for us. He looked great in that game.
Well, he won an FA Cup trophy. So.
He's got a
more than others down the road can say.
Was kind of hyped up for him in the first place, but that was just because he, like on the previous Football Manager game at that point, he was like the hyped up dude of that one. And he was just like, everyone signed him because he was awesome. And then, yeah, it didn't. One of those ones that doesn't pan out in real life as well. It's always disappointing, but oh well. He tried. He just, like you said, can't use his body.
He tried, yeah. All right, so move us on.
Yeah. Feels like we haven't got a game for a while still.
Another week or so,
is it? We're still in Dubai, so it's, I think, second week of February. We've got to wait till.
Yeah, like
February at least. So, I'll chuck a question at you, seeing as Dylan's got nothing left. Jack Wilshere.
Aww.
So, I mean, we're all very romantic as football fans and all that sort of stuff. And I'm sure those guys that are on the chat boards are going to smash me for this. But watching Jack Wilshere train and knowing the love he has for the club, is it worth it giving him 6 months contract to the end of the season, backup defensive midfielder? He'll give his all no matter what. Yeah, he might be a little bit older and he's injury prone, whatever, but.
Unless we're going to give a youth guy a shot in that role, like, yeah, why the fuck not? Like, we need depth in that role. Like, it's a last case scenario, but like, if the scenario does pan itself out, then yeah, hell yeah. Like, what have we got to lose at that point?
I think, depending on whenever the Spurs game's rescheduled, he gets the one game contract just for that game. He comes on in the last few minutes as the third sub. And just take someone out. Maybe no one.
I thought you were going to say something like really nice, like scores like a last minute goal or something. Like,
no, just
you don't even have that much faith.
Just take Harry Kane out. Yeah,
just levels him.
Yeah, he might get red carded, but you know, 90th minute sub just for that, and then he can retire.
I would pay him Aubameyang's weekly salary just to do that. £350,000 just to take Harry Kane out, and then off we go.
Not that list.
If you have that, pay him. Go for it.
Yeah. No, but seriously, like George is saying, if we get a midfield injury, then yes, but only that way. I would rather have him in the squad.
Well, I think I said way back around. When he first started training, if he's given a contract, surely we have faith in Arteta. Or some people have faith in Arteta enough that if he's given a contract, then we believe he's good enough to play. Otherwise, why would we give him a contract?
Jeez, if we believe Yaya Sanogo was good enough to play, we can believe Jack Wilshere can play.
We had hope. Hope is different than, like, reality that we didn't know yet. Found like, there has been a thing with a few Premier League clubs that have done this now, but, like, they've signed, like, older players, like, usually a bit older than, like, Wilshere is now, so I don't know if he'd go for it as much, but he's, like, 35 plus. just old dudes, and they brought him into like the under 23 setup just to kind of give like that bit of like more mentorship and leadership experience.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's something that's gone pretty well for that. So like, I don't know if he became fan, but if he does get another run in the club, like I would love him in that sort of role.
Yeah. I think it's, is it Julio? I hope I'm saying that right, mate. Yes, he is on the trip, which was quite a surprise to all of us. So the fact that he's gone away on this warm weather training camp break, whatever they want to call it, COVID catching trip thing, the fact that he's gone there with everybody else is with the squad is awesome, because I think he will get something out of it, and it's not like it's going to cost us an arm and a leg. So,
I mean, he went and Aubameyang didn't, so I guess it shows where our priorities were a bit more. So, like, just I almost kind of wondered at the time if it was like, are we just really rubbing in Aubameyang's face? It's like, no, screw you. We're done with you, dude. We're bringing Wilshere along.
And yeah. That's a conversation I had with my boss, who's also an Arsenal fan, was today was it's amazing to see that the club actually stuck to their guns on that. He breached the rules. They backed Arteta and they followed through. I mean, I don't know many clubs that would go down that route and just say, look, these are the rules.
I can't think of another instance quite recently of something like that. Like, I think part of the reason was I really think they wanted to extricate us, like Arsenal, from the Aubameyang contract. So, like, this has provided a good excuse to do so. But at the same time, like, to actually stick to your convictions like that, like, yeah, it's not something you really notice a lot. Like, player power is quite a thing nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing strength from the powers that be at the club to do that. So, and good on them for backing Arteta. Obviously, they have full belief in what he's doing and what he's trying to do at the club. So, us as fans can only back it, right? Especially on this side of the world. It's not like they'll hear us.
Yeah, I mean, they've got form as well, kind of, when it comes to that. Like, they've got that Sean McVay at the Rams, who's only like 30-something.
Basics.
And they've backed him heavily. And it's paying off. So, yeah, and it seems like that's kind of the way they're going with their teams is they're, yeah, if they can find someone they believe in who's young, then they're backing them 100%. And, you know, who knows what they're talking about when he was over watching the game the other week, but sounds like a new contract in the works. And
yeah.
Look, the next time you give me $70 million to spend, let me spend it. Don't buy another Pepe. Yeah. Especially like him, like that's a lot of money.
That could have got a lot of money. Yes, a lot of money for not much return.
He scores once a season.
Oh, he's good. He had a good value attributed to him. It's the thing that happens with a lot of like high. Just crazy inflated transfer fees now. It's just like they're never going to be able to live up to that value. It's crazy.
I think, yeah, I mean, we obviously he doesn't play that well when he's being called on. We haven't really used him that well as well, and he doesn't really fit in the way we play. I don't know. Like, he had a good AFCON, so you know maybe he can bring some of that back.
But, yeah. So yeah. We've talked about this before on the podcast, Dylan. When he was in, I think he was in France, right? The team was kind of centered around him.
Yeah,
and
they were.
The play was directed to give the ball to Pepe and let Pepe score. Where we don't, that's not how Arteta has set our team up. What's his name just came up? Julio saying, why don't we try Pepe up front? Why not? Give it a go. He's a. If we're stuck, like he can hit a ball, like there's no denying that he can take a shot. He knows where the goal is. Just our system isn't set up for his style of play of 600 million step overs, running over the ball like a horse and then kicking the ball out. That's not
how. Well, there was a bit of that, but when he was at Lille, like a lot of it was countering, and he was just like the guy up top, and they were just ready to break him and look to him every time. Like that's why he had such like huge numbers there that season that we signed him.
But the Premier League doesn't play like that.
No, like it was, we didn't need a person in that position. Like it was not the right call. But
no,
I would have liked him a different club. Just it had to be Arsenal for that much.
Yeah. Well, what was the question after that one? How much do we trust the process? Jesus, if I was to put a number on it, maybe 60-40 in the positive.
And that's saying something for you, Mike.
Yeah, I'm usually...
You're not a positive person.
No. I've seen the progress this year, whether or not it's been up and down, etc. I know it's a really young squad, but I can see where he's trying to go and what he's trying to do. He's got some very, very young players who are very inexperienced and are still learning their trade and learning to play with each other. Like, we bought Tomiyasu in out of the blue, out of nowhere, and he's had to figure out, one, how to speak the language, two, how to play the football, three, to deal with the Premier League, and four, who the hell am I passing to, right? And he's done it really well. So obviously there's a good way to integrate players into the squad when they're young. Ben White, another example. His centre-back guy doesn't speak very much English, right? So having to figure out that partnership and all that. So
And neither does really any of the back line. Tomiyasu, Tierney.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you can understand him, but the young players are doing well. We just need to understand that they're young, right? They're getting there. So I trust the process enough to support the team and support Arteta, but I'm not like fully hooked into it, if you know what I mean.
How bad does the season have to get? Like, how bad do we have to finish for you to say that's it? Or how good does it have to be okay, give him a new contract?
I think Champions League is the goal. I suppose that we used to use this in corporate world was you had a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal, right? Winning the league is out. Champions League is our BHAG, our hairy, audacious goal. I think the actual goal is to get back into Europe. Doesn't matter what version of Europe, because that's where the money comes from. And that's where you can build and attract the players. The one that will turn me off is probably if we finish anything below seventh.
And do you think that's on Arteta and he's gone, or we've got a young squad, stick with him for another season?
I think there's a couple factors that'll play into there. One will be the transfer policy. Why we didn't buy another striker will come back into question. Two, why did we send so many players out on loan that we shouldn't have? And why did we get rid of Aubameyang when we should have? All those sort of questions will start being thrown up. So, it's an interesting one, but I don't think Arteta's head will roll, but I think there will need to be an inquest, and I'm sure the Amazon Prime show is going to give us
I can't wait for that show. That's going to be brilliant.
Those things always are terrible.
I don't think Arteta's head will roll, but I think there'll be some fan uproar, as there always is with Arsenal, right? And the media will call it a saga and all that sort of jazz just because it's Arsenal, but there will be some questions asked.
Zan.
What he said.
Thanks.
Easy.
In terms of trusting the process, okay, I trust it on the field. Like, I can see the shoots of what Arteta is trying to do. I'm pretty confident in that. I'm still mad at the board for a lot of the Super League nonsense from last year, and I haven't quite forgiven them there. So I got a lot of things to work on that side of the game. But, like, I'm quite excited. I'm really liking the fact that we took the stand on Aubameyang. We've really given the faith in the kids. I'm being very impressed with Tomiyasu this year, like bringing him in. I think Lokonga will be good in the future as well. Like, I'm quite positive on him. Like, it's just, there's a positive vibe coming around the club that I haven't felt in a number of years. So I'm keen to see that continue. In terms of like finishing stuff, again, what Mike said, like top four Champions League is like, okay, no, we're set. Like, yeah, obviously something is going right. Like, there'd be no reason to ditch him. I personally would keep him even if the season kind of deteriorates. At least it doesn't go until like an Everton style level. In that case, like, all bets are off. The club can just like disintegrate as they seem to be doing. But
they've signed some good players though.
Yeah. I still get this feeling it's all going to blow up, and I'm kind of keen to
watch. I hope it does, but yeah.
What do you reckon with Lampard? Yeah, do you think?
It might be.
That's kind of why I hope it blows up.
It's funny as well. Like, right? Everyone was talking, I remember not so long ago, all the fans were saying, well, you're letting Usimov go and fund Everton. You're not accepting any of his money. You're kicking him out of our club. What has he done at Everton?
Yeah, but he's not the one in charge of that. He's
I know, but I'm just pointing out that, you know, he's gone to another club and nothing has come to that club that we're not missing out on anything.
That club's been suffering for years before that as well. Like, they've been a shambles for, like, this has been building for like nearly a decade, it seems like.
They're just lucky they play us twice a season.
Yeah.
They're guaranteed one more win.
That was it. That 2-1 they beat us at, and that's like their only good result for like months. And it's just, yeah. Bloody Arsenal.
So back to Arsenal. I don't see any switch, especially if they're already talking about offering a new contract. Yeah. I don't see any situation. Well, again, unless
it would take something catastrophic.
Yeah, unless something major happens. He ain't going anywhere. As Zahn said, on the field, mostly positive for the season, right? The way we're trying to play, the results haven't been that bad, except for some of the bigger teams. And his man management seems to be okay. Like, people keep trying to question it, but
it feels
he's
like
handled
he's
the Aubameyang situation
the
really well. He's handling the kids really well, and even ones like Saliba, he could have easily kept him around and just sat him on the bench this season. Where, how does that help anyone? I know a lot of people saying, he shouldn't be at Marseille, he should be at the club. But does he really get into the team this season?
I feel like a lot of decisions have made. I mean, like, we can only go off because he's never had a chance, so he must just be a training sort of thing. But that's why everyone has the frustrations of this Saliba situation, is because we've never actually got a chance to see him. Like, is he good? In theory, he is, but he's actually been doing pretty well at Marseille as well. But yeah,
well, that's what I mean. Like, from what we're seeing, we're getting a brilliant centre back, but would he have been?
I just wonder if I'm just hoping we haven't like burnt the bridge with him already in a similar way. Like, Guendouzi might come back and he's still really good, but I don't see him wanting to play for us at this point.
I don't think it matters if we burnt the bridge with him. I think it's what he's doing at the moment is adding to his value. So if we have burnt the bridge and he's not going to come back, we can on sell him with a good reputation for what he's doing at Marseille. Mm-hmm. If he comes back, we've got a good centre back. So either which way, I think we're winning in that situation.
I think we've still got 2 years left. Is that right when he comes back? So 2 years is, his value is still there.
I agree.
Is he 27 million or something still? I don't know. But,
something like that, yeah.
I don't know if we'll still get that for him. But, next season, things to look forward to, right? He's definitely, if he does come back, he's definitely going to get game time.
It's going to be a very interesting, not just end to the season, but I think this off season is going to be the one that defines the Arteta, I don't want to say dynasty or whatever it is, but reign, whatever you want to call it, Reich, whatever he's doing. This transfer window that's coming up is the one that's going to define his Arsenal. Like, what is his Arsenal? Well, he's had that awesome transfer window to get in all these young players. He's now had a transfer window to clear everyone out, all the dead wood that he didn't want. That's all gone. He's got a very lean, very mean-looking squad at the moment. The next window is the last sort of opportunity to make those final tweaks, right? Bring in these kids back from loan and finish like setting up the project going forward. We're going to get some good results this season. We're going to get some bad results. But this last transfer window is probably his last sort of building blocks of his project, right? And then we'll see what he's truly made of. He needs to get one or two strikers in. He needs to get a central midfielder in, and he probably needs to bring in a centre back, whether that's Saliba back on a loan or another centre back in. We know we're going to do this Leno swap with another goalkeeper, and then he should have his young, dynamic, energetic squad with Tierney as captain, we all hope, going forward.
And that's what you said at the very beginning of the show, like shaving the Aubameyang money off that contract and just, I don't know what anyone really expected us to really go out and buy. Like, if Vlahovic was available, then yeah, go for that. Otherwise, it was like, we're never going to bring anyone too crazy in here. Like, we are really saving that money for that concerted effort, like you said.
Yeah.
So, this summer is going to be a big one.
Not many clubs will sell their top draw striker or their striker mid-season when they know they've got a big run and COVID's around and all that sort of stuff. They'll all wait till the end of the season and then jack their prices up.
Yeah, there has to be extenuating circumstances. That was the case with Vlahovic. Like, there were reasons with that contract situation. They wanted to get the money now. And that was like, fair enough, you can cash in now. But like, that is an exception to the rule. Like, for the most part, like you said, they're not going to be wanting to do that.
I agree. You generally don't see those big transfers in the January one. It's usually just the...
Or if you do, they go wrong.
Yeah.
Good old Fernando Torres at Chelsea.
And Aubameyang.
He had his moments.
He did. I guess one other thing is, lastly as well, it is a positive. I know people are trying to say, we didn't get anyone, but it's very Arsenal to go at the last minute and just spend money that we don't really want a player, but we'll take him just to appease people, you know?
So it's kind of good. We could have bought in Kim Kallstrom again.
Yeah. But, isn't it better to not just buy anyone? Obviously, if we had the targets, it was obvious that if our targets were available, we would have got them. We did offer money for Vlahovic. He just didn't want to come. So the money was there. The intent was there. We just didn't get our targets, so we didn't spend the money. Arsenal in previous years would have spent the money on Pepe or someone just to get someone in. But maybe it's a good thing. It shows that we actually do have a plan and we're going to stick to it.
And there's confidence in the players that are there to deliver, right? Sometimes when you're that desperate and you're splashing the cash on a Pepe, for instance, the players that are already in the squad will go, but that's my spot. Do not trust me, sort of thing. So at least this way we know who we've got. They know the system. Go forth and bulge old onion bags, please.
Well, I think Arsenal of a couple of seasons ago probably pays the buyout clause of Isaac today. Yeah, I think a couple of seasons ago we may have done that, but
I honestly wouldn't be too unhappy with that, but that's just me.
No, like I wouldn't have been too unhappy with him coming in either, but maybe they think they can still get him on a cheaper deal next year. So I don't know, but look, there's so many opinions. There's
70 million
reactions everywhere. I had to stay off. Like, I was trying to watch a video, a stream earlier this morning, just before the window closed, and I had to turn it off. Otherwise, it just brings your whole day down. But look, I appreciate you guys coming on. I'm going to end it there. But it's been good fun. Have to do this again. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yeah.
I'd be keen if you guys want me.
Oh, I don't know. You're an Australian, so.
Yeah, only one Australian. I do kind of feel a bit dirty. Only one being Australian. Here, so.
Yeah. Only one Australian.
You are an Australian too, aren't you, Dylan?
I am. I've had to denounce my.
Heritage to be able to come on here.
But I am originally from there.
With a haircut like that, Australia can have you back, mate.
Hey, I'll trade you.
Yeah, your haircut's all right, y'all.
Everyone talks about. Shit. Closed borders and everything. I'm all for closed borders because they can't kick me out. You're stuck with me. I'm sorry.
Thanks, lads.
No, thanks, guys. Yeah, thanks, Dan.